Can you hear me now? It's green.
Ah, we did it. I hit the magic button. Good morning, Highlands. So, I'm going to ask you guys to bear with me this morning. Jody came to me several weeks ago and asked me if I'd be willing to preach this week on Mary and Martha. And at that time when he asked me, I was like, yeah, there's something seems really right about me tackling those verses today. I did not know what a emotional whirlwind I was going to be on the next few weeks after that. And you guys are going to follow along with me today. So today's sermon is kind of half testimony and half preaching. So you guys take that as it is. So today we are going to open our Bibles to Luke 11, starting in verse 38. And we're going to dig into this verse. Before we do this, let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, for it is all profitable, Father, for our goodness, Lord, for our progression, Father, for our sanctification. Lord, I thank you for these last few weeks in study, Father, on this topic and the meaningfulness that it's had in my life, Father. And I pray, Lord, that your word would speak to those who are hearing this today. Lord, I love you, and I pray for focus, Father. I pray for attentiveness, Lord. And Father, we thank you for Jesus and his work on our behalf. We pray this in his name. Amen. All right, so I'm going to jump right in to verse 38. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distressed with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." And so up till this morning, I had a different manuscript for this morning for the sermon. And as I worked through it yesterday, God kept saying something to me, and this morning I dumped it. So we are going a different route today. As I was working through the story of Mary and Martha, God really dug into my heart regarding the story of Mary and Martha and their brother throughout the Bible, and the depth of Jesus' love for these people. And as we start here in these very first verses, what do we know about Martha? What do we know from just this first intro about who Martha is and who Mary is? We know Martha owned a home. We know Martha was hospitable, right? We know that Martha was dedicated, that she was a hard worker. We know that Martha cared about serving. And we know that Martha was particularly cared about serving Jesus. Imagine being Martha and Jesus is coming to your house and you've got to host a dinner party for Jesus. Imagine the franticness and the level of anxiety that's going on in her heart. And I can identify with Martha. I very often am a Martha. So most of you know, over the last month, we've had my father in our home on hospice and have been caring for him, which has been a delight and a wonderful experience. But it also means we have had a cavalcade of family coming through our house. Aunts, uncles, sisters, cousins. And very often my default is to fall back to being Martha. So it was very appropriate as I started studying for this word today that I was going through that experience of like full-time hospitality. You know, our house kind of has had people in it all month. This past week, I think, is the first week that we haven't had people kind of nonstop in our house. So Martha's been very top of mind for me. And then who is Mary? So just from these first verses, we start to get a picture of these two sisters. Martha goes to Jesus and says, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me." Do you feel like maybe this is the first time Martha and Mary have had this conversation? Any sisters in here or brothers in here? And so what does Martha do? She goes right to Jesus, right? Which, you know, it puts him in a little bit of an awkward situation, right? Because she's asking him to choose sides. And Jesus, "Hey, look, my lazy sister is over here. She's just sitting here listening to you, not helping me do anything. Would you please get her moving," right? And what Jesus says here is so loving. He says first, "Martha, Martha." And I want to encourage you to read these verses as the way Jesus said them to her, and lovingly, right? With love. Not Martha, 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 right? Do you guys remember the Brady Bunch? Marcia, Marcia, Marcia. But this was with kindness. "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled in many things." And I love the way that he says that as well. Because how many of you live your life that way? You are anxious and troubled about many things. What a nice, succinct way that our Savior has stated this to Martha. You are anxious and troubled in many things, but one thing is necessary. Just one. Mary has chosen the good portion, the good gift, which shall not be taken from her. And what our Savior has said to Martha in a very succinct way is, one, I have Mary exactly where I need Mary to be. Because Jesus chose this place, right? Jesus chose Martha and Mary to come and visit and eat a meal with. And Mary has chosen to respond by listening to Jesus, to absorbing his word, to absorbing his teaching. And his loving rebuke to Martha is that you have become anxious, right? You have become anxious and troubled in many things. So we're going to dig into, as we go through the rest of our conversation today, what is that one thing, right, that Mary has chosen? What is the one thing? So this isn't the end of Mary and Martha's story. We're going to pick them back up again. So we're going to turn forward in the Bible to the book of John, starting in chapter 11. Now, Mary and Martha had a brother whose name was Lazarus. One thing you'll notice from that first engagement was that Lazarus was not present. So you have three siblings. You have Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Lazarus was not there to receive the Lord. Mary received the Lord, but with anxiety and fear. I'm sorry, Martha. And Mary received the Lord by listening and responding. So three totally different reactions, three totally different people. So we're going to pick up in John chapter 11, verse 1. "Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was a Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, 'Lord, he who you love is ill.' But when Jesus heard it, he said, 'This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it.' Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was." So I want to stop there for just a moment, because there's a really big word there that's really small. And the word is "so." So I want us to think about this for a moment. The scene has been set here. It's been really clear that Jesus loves Martha. Jesus loves Mary. Jesus loves Lazarus. But what does it say? It says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, so when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Now this is a statement that made me stop as I was studying and preparing for today. Because does this make sense to us? Jesus loves Martha and Mary, but he stays where he is. He doesn't go to them. He doesn't rush to them. He stays where he is. This is a hard truth. This is a truth that me and my family are struggling with right now. In inviting my father into our home over the past month, what that means is on hospice, this is the final days for him. There's no going back to a hospital. There's no going back home. This is our final care for my dad. And so in this time, sitting with him and watching him slowly get thinner, struggling to breathe, this big little word is something I've struggled with. And the concept that sometimes Jesus makes us wait in pain for our sanctification, for our salvation. And I know this body, I know that many of you found yourself in the same place. Everyone has found yourself in here at times contemplating and trying to understand that so. And found yourself saying, Jesus, why am I here? Why am I in this place? Why did you not come? Then after he said this to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. Then the disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were now seeking to stone you, and you're going there again? And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks to the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of the world. But if anybody walks at night, he stumbles because the light is not with them. So let's continue our thought about that. So later on in John 14, Jesus is going to tell the disciples that I am the way, the truth, and the life. And what he's saying here to them, and he says to them over and over again, right? Is while I am with you, you have light. While I am with you, you walk in the daytime. And while I am with you, you're walking to my plan. You're walking in a world that hates you, but you're walking in my light. I think as Christians, as brothers and sisters, this is encouragement that we have to give each other when we're contemplating the so of our life. Why am I in this place? You're in this place and you're in the light of Jesus, our Savior. And you are walking in that light with him. After saying these things, he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus told him plainly, Lazarus has died. And for your sake, I'm glad that he was not here. I'm glad that I was not there so that you may believe, but let us go to him. So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. So the story we're seeing playing out here in this first part of chapter 11 is a reiteration that God's plan is very different than our plan, right? We often make plans and have big ideas and things that we want to accomplish, and then when life doesn't go that way, we get frustrated or irritated. And we see that story repeated with the disciples and their engagement with Christ. And these are men who saw God do miracles firsthand, who know the authority and the power that God has placed within Jesus. And yet, they still doubt. Yet, they still question. Yet, they still point to him, no, we can't go there, we'll die. And yet, continuously, Jesus is kind and loving in his phrasing and his rebukes and his conversations with them. So let's keep reading. I am the resurrection and the life, starting verse 17. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give to you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again to the resurrection on the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And she said to him, yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. What a beautiful proclamation of faith that we see here from Martha. And what a change from the first time that Jesus and Martha met. When she was full of anxiety and worries about the world. To this day where she says, yes, Jesus, you are Savior. You are Lord. You are supreme above all. And I trust and believe in you. When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, the teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she said it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell to his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her were also weeping, he was deeply moved in the spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. You know, there's lots of thought around why Jesus wept at this moment. And in response to what? Compassion for suffering. The suffering that sees in his Mary and Martha, who he loves. Crying over the wages of sin and the impact that it has on our world. The cost that is about to be paid for Jesus knows that the resurrection of Lazarus, where this is going to lead in his persecution and over the cause of his death. Our Lord stopped and he wept with Mary and for Mary, with the family. And over us. And so the Jews said, see how he loved them. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying? And again, you know, as we read through the story and we listen to the things that the people are saying, I think often about the kind of rebuttals that we're confronted with in society on a regular basis. Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have also kept this man from dying? How many of you confronted situations in life where someone has said to you, well, if Jesus is so great, why can't he stop all evil? Why doesn't he stop all wars? Why doesn't he do this? Why doesn't he do that? And, you know, it keeps going back to that two-letter word, right? The so. And sometimes I know for my sanctification, God has me sit and rest in something that I may find really uncomfortable and not want to be in the middle of. But I also know his plan so much better than my plan. Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he's been dead for 4 days." And Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" And so they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on the account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And the man who died came out, his hands and feet bound in linen strips and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." This is our God. This is our God. This is our Savior. This is what he does. He takes dead men and he brings them back to life. He takes dead hearts and brings them back to life. He is bigger. He is stronger. He is more able to overcome anything in your life than you will ever be able to do on your own. Now, I will confess something at this point to you guys. I sometimes have a problem with joy. Yeah, I know it's hard to believe. And God's done some great things in my heart this year. I'm really thankful to him. And one of those things he did was, over the course of the summer, he had us do this thing called Retrain Regroup. And that time was an amazing time of community within our body. But for me, in the back of my head, it got me to thinking, God, I often don't approach life in a very joyful way. And what brought that to mind was the interactions with people in our body, digging into study, talking to one another, encouraging one another, opening our hearts to each other. I was like, gosh, I've got to dig into this. Why do I lack joy in the day-to-day things that I do in my life? So what did God do? He brought up my dad to my house and put him in hospice. And that doesn't sound like something joyful, but it has been. Because during this time, what he's done is he's rebuilt relationships. My sisters and I are closer than we've ever been. I've heard stories. I've got to listen to my dad tell us about things that I didn't know about in our family's history. I've reunited with aunts and uncles that I see maybe once a year. My dad's always had a heart of service, and I got to see the impact that heart of service had on people in his life, people who reached out that he knew 30, 40 years ago as little kids. And through this, there's been great joy in our household as we've served my dad and my mom. It's been great joy watching my wife serve my parents. And that's not to say that the soul isn't there, right? That the pain, you know, the struggle, the heartache. So I want to take you, I'm going to go turn to Psalms here, Psalm 46. Because I want to talk about, what is the one thing? You know, we talked about earlier, Mary chose the one thing. What is that? So turn with me to Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, through the mountains, be moved into the heart of the sea. Though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling, there is a river whose streams made glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought the desolation on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And here's the good portion that Mary partook of, right? Be still and know that I am God. What was Mary able to do? What did Jesus say would not be taken away from her? So I want you guys to do me a favor. I want you to close your eyes. If everybody would bear with me, close your eyes. And I want you to think about what it means to be still in this way. The anxieties that you walked into here with today, the cares of the world that you walked in here with today, the fears, the burdens that you feel on your shoulders, I want you to let them go. Let these things go. Your God seeks this for you. He wants this for you. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. You can open your eyes. This is the good portion. This is what Mary got. This is what Martha gets as the story goes on. So as we pick back up, we're going to move forward to chapter 12, verse 1. So for the story of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, there's a little coda here. And God hit me really hard with this week. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus has raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at the table. Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance and the perfume. Now we know what goes on from there with Judas. But I want to stop here for a moment, and I want to talk about the end of the story of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. So there's three depictions here that we see of the impact that Jesus had on their lives. Lazarus, who was dead, now has a seat at the table with Jesus. Martha, who had been busying herself, full of anxieties, is serving. And you notice there's no reference of serving and grumbling, or serving in anxiety, or serving with frustration, as was pointed out previously. This is a different service that we see from Martha. And Mary is not only listening, she's anointing her gods, right? She's serving her Lord. So as we prepare to wrap up here today, the question I want to leave you with, right? Of these three people, who are you? Where do you find yourself today? Are you Lazarus? Are you dead? If you find yourself in that place, I want to encourage you. Our Savior, Jesus Christ, calls to you. He holds a redemption for you and a salvation for you that none other. And he calls you to have a seat at his table for the best feast. Are you Martha? Are you busying yourself with the works of life? And as I confessed earlier, I find myself being Martha very often. The encouragement for me studying for this and over the last few weeks was those times where I knew I had to stop busying myself and just be still, right? And say, hey, Bill, it's okay to not go in there and take the garbage out at the moment. Why don't you spend a little more time with Dad? Or why don't you spend a little more time with Aunt Karen? Or a little more time with your sister? Why don't you make that bandwidth in the hecticness and busyness of your life? Where do you find yourself to be Mary? Are you listening and learning and seeking to serve the Lord? And in this way, providing encouragement and nourishment for your community of believers around you, for your neighbors, for your family, for your loved ones. So as we close out today and prepare for prayer, I want to encourage you guys. There's joy in this conversation. And I know it's heavy, but the joy comes from understanding, where does Jesus have us sitting at the moment? What is your so? Where are you sitting? Where does Jesus have you? What has God placed you in? And then looking and saying, okay, what's my response to that? Am I Martha? Am I Mary? Am I Lazarus? And what do I do with that knowledge? Where do I go? The joy and encouragement I want to give you is that Jesus, our Savior, is forgiving and loving and has grace for each and every one of us. And through him, our weakness is made strong. Through him, we have an encouragement and the ability to achieve a joy that is everlasting. And as a body, we have the opportunity to gather around one another and encourage one another in this through community, through conversation, through lunches, through dinners. So my encouragement to you is go out. As a church, we take it very seriously. Go out and make disciples of all nations. Go out and be that light, be that encouragement. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this word, Lord. I thank you for your love and your graciousness, Lord, that you bestowed and showed towards Martha and Mary, Lazarus, Father. I thank you for the gift of their story, Father, of your grace and redemption. And they were able to share that with one another. Father, help us as we go out to not focus on the anxieties and the worries of the world. Instead, help us, Lord, to come to you in all things, Father, in prayer. To seek you in all things for wisdom and encouragement, Father. Lord, we might turn to you instead of so many other things in this world that we look towards, that we might look to you for joy and our source, Father, for security, for
in a future, Lord, that only you can provide for us. Father, help us to show this to our neighbors, to our brothers, our sisters, our mothers, our fathers, our children. Lord, that we might be an encouragement to them. And we thank you, Father, for Jesus, his act on the cross on our behalf. And we pray this in his name. Amen. So I'd like to encourage you.